Downloading.
Downloading.
Audio.
Nonstop.
Thanks for downloading the SOS Radio podcast.
When we are weak, God is strong. I'm Scott on SOS Radio. We're talking to Aaliyah Joy today on SOS Radio. She has a new book. It's called Glorious Weakness, Discovering God and All We Lack. It's funny, Aaliyah, how we work so hard. We think about our self-esteem. We think about getting our education. We think about being stronger and brighter and wiser. But you know what? God teaches us some of the biggest lessons when we acknowledge our weakness, huh?
I think our society definitely values looking all put together on the outside, but God values our honesty, and our honesty is that we are weak, and he meets us in that.
It's wild when you grow up, you think like, okay, I'm a kid, I want to be smarter, I'm going to be stronger, I'm not going to be bullied, I'm not going to let anybody push me around, and then you become an adult and you realize, hey, wait, all those same things still apply, I didn't really always grow out of all that, huh?
Yeah, it is. I definitely had moments where I'm like, I feel like I'm in middle school again, that awkwardness and that insecurity and that looking around and seeing what everybody else is doing. And I think a lot of us try to present this very strong front that we have it all together, and most of us don't.
Yeah, you share a little bit about suffering as a child and how that experience changes as you grow.
I didn't have the language for, you know, what was going on when I was a kid, that I suffered, and my view of God really took a pretty huge hit. Just in the concepts of how can God be good and how can God be good in a world where I hurt this much or where there's this much pain or brokenness. And as a kid, I didn't articulate it that way, but that's definitely what I felt. God just didn't make sense as being good because the world was painful. And, you know, I think that's something that a lot of adults wrestle with, too. We look at the world, we look at the brokenness in us and around us, and it's one of those big questions. Is God good? Is he merciful? Is he kind? Is he there? Does he love me? So those are a lot of the things that I wrestle with and explore in the book, those questions of how can God be good when our life is anything but.
We're talking to author Aaliyah Joy today at SOS Radio, and you came face to face with weakness and poverty and loss in a lot of ways when you were a child that made you really doubt that God was good. Would you share that story with us?
Yeah, so I grew up, I was a kid of a missionary parent. We were in Nepal. I was diagnosed with leukemia, and we came back to the States, and reentry was really hard, coming back to the States, having to stay out of a developing country. During that time when I was in Nepal, when I was 4 and 5, I had been sexually abused, and I never told anybody. So I carried a lot of shame and guilt and confusion. You know, I didn't understand really that it wasn't my fault. I mean, it took years and years and years to understand that it wasn't my fault. And so that experience and that confusion really led to a lot of breakdown in my relationship with God and the way I saw God. We came back to the States, and my parents were really disillusioned. They were very idealistic missionaries that the Bible really seriously, when the Bible said, sell everything and give to the poor, they really lived that way. When they said, go make disciples, they lived that way. And so when we came back to America and we were sort of confronted with this North American faith that didn't value those things in the same way, that valued a lot of safety and comfort and security, and faith was sort of this plan B thing that you would rely on once everything was in place, it was really disorienting. And I think my parents got really bitter, something that they would definitely admit, got really bitter about how hypocritical the church seemed and saying, you know, all is faith, all is grace, but then, you know, really frowning on anybody that actually needed grace or, you know, walked by faith. And so that carried on into my teen years. I became a Christian at 17 when I had this encounter with God. At the time, I wasn't diagnosed with bipolar disorder, but I definitely had signs and symptoms of having bipolar disorder in my mid to late teens. I actually wasn't diagnosed with bipolar disorder till my 30s, but I was in a state of suicidal ideation. I was ready to attempt to take my own life, angry and hurt and devastated. And just, I was in a mixed bipolar state, which I know now, but didn't know then, and was crying out to God, not in a like, save me, Lord, you know, I'm at the end of myself, but in just sort of an angry rage, you know, fist to the heaven, cuss words flying. I never asked to be born. I never asked for any of this, you know, and I had this feeling like I'm in so much pain and I'm hurting so much and I just want out of this world. But I had grown up with Christianity and I thought, this is a God who, if I try to escape, he's going to send me to hell forever, you know, and so I was just angry. I was angry and I was scared. And I was physically knocked to the floor and flooded with peace. And because I'm such a rational person, afterwards I tried to explain it away. You know, I was in shock and my body shut down. It was probably cortisol levels were high, or maybe my legs got weak, or I mean, there was all kinds of stuff I tried to explain what had happened, but I couldn't really reconcile the peace that I felt. I just felt like something I never felt before. And so I started reading my Bible in secret. And it was several months of reading my Bible and wrestling with God. But the Holy Spirit was at work in my life, and I came to know Jesus. And so after that, a lot of times the testimony ends there, right? I was at the end of myself. God intervened in this moment and showed me and revealed himself to me. And then I had faith, and then everything was great. But that's not the end of my story. And so the book really explores what happens when you continue to live in spaces like that of suffering and brokenness and poverty and weakness and mental illness and chronic illness and all of these things that are present in life that we sometimes think are going to get fixed once we become Christians. And yet for many of us, that's not the case. So I talked in the book about how I still sometimes struggle with suicidal ideation when my meds are off, that I have faith in God and I abide in Christ and I have this beautiful understanding of the depth of my relationship with Christ. And still, in my deepest, darkest depressions, I wonder if it's all fake and if he's real. And so how do we hold on? I talk about it in the book as this language of hope, our native tongue, this language of hope. How do we remain fluent in that when the world seems very dark? How do we keep having hope, keep pressing into faith, keep walking with Jesus when we feel like we can't even stand? So I talk a lot about how Jesus comes into that brokenness and that weakness, and how he doesn't ask us to be stronger. He asks us to be honest about the places that we're weak, that is actually the place where God meets us the most. I believe that glory is most often really seen in our dependence and our desperation for God. Like, as he enters into that weakness, there's a glory that is very upside down and backward, almost absurd, you know, as the kingdom of God is, you know, upside down way that Jesus has. And so I really explore that. What does it look like to live in this upside down kingdom where the Bible says, blessed are the poor in spirit? And so I really explore, what does it mean to be poor in spirit, to be at the end of yourself, to be sort of desperate for God all the time in many different ways?
It's cool, because even when we still feel like there's so much brokenness in my life, when you can get to that place and you can say that, you know what, God has developed a maturity over time. It's like when we feel so hopeless, we just see all these layers of drama and trauma from our past. And so many people are thinking like, okay, I've got maybe some depression over here, or I've got my emotions are just broken, or I've got some anxiety, or maybe I've got a faith crisis, or maybe there is chemical imbalance that needs to be addressed with medicine. When someone's in that place and they're really struggling, not even knowing which end is up, what would you suggest from your journey, Aaliyah Joy, on where they should even start to get some things in order so that they can move out of that space?
Yeah, I mean, I think with telling whether somebody is in a faith crisis or whether it's an actual depression, some of that is time. You know, depression isn't a couple days of sadness. I think we sometimes will use the language interchangeably. Anxiety is the same thing. A lot of people are like, I'm anxious, or I'm having anxiety. But what they really mean is worry, not like generalized anxiety, which is a chemical imbalance where your body goes into fight or flight mode without your consent, you know. So there are differences in those things. Chemical depression, clinical depression is not a couple days of feeling blue or kind of bummed out. It's a prolonged, you know, I think it's 2 weeks or more. And there are several criteria that you meet. And so one of the things I think for me, some of it is not separating the things out, not saying it's only this or it's only that, or I really believe we're holistic beings. We have all of these different components to us. So there's a bodily aspect to that. I know with bipolar disorder, I pay very close attention to my sleep and my diet and my all of the bodily things, because a couple nights of really bad sleep and I will be off. And so there is that aspect of taking care of ourselves. There's the aspect of our spirituality and our walk with God. And if there's an absence of that presence of God, you know, there are times when our faith is just going to flounder a little bit. That's a natural progression of faith, that there are times when we're going to struggle. But I think, you know, pressing into when do I need to go see a therapist? When do I need to go do that? For me, I have a hard time doing the other things. It's so disruptive to my life. I have a really hard time doing the bodily things. I have a really hard time pressing into Jesus and doing those things when I am struggling with chemical, clinical depression. It blocks out all of the goodness. It blocks out all of the hope there's so much fatigue and there's so many physical aspects of depression that I think we don't always talk about. Slowness in my mind, all of those things. For me, that's where I would start. And then as I heal in those ways, I'm able to do all of the other things as well. And so I think they're all important. It's hard to treat just one aspect of our being because we have so many facets and we are all of those parts.
It's a holistic thing with a lot of moving parts, huh? But, you know, we take that questioning, we take the sorrow, we take wrestling with God all as a part of a healthy Christian journey and growing to be more like Him, right?
Yep.
We're talking with Aaliyah Joy today at SWS Radio, and she has a new book. It's called Glorious Weakness. It's all about discovering God in all that we lack. Well, thanks for sharing with us today, Aaliyah.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
Thanks for listening to the SOS Radio Podcast with Scott Harreld. If this discussion encouraged you, feel free to share it with your friends on social media.